Life can feel overwhelming, but you don't have to go through it alone. On my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, I share openly and vulnerably about everything life brings us and what we can learn by living with our hearts a little bit more open. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on self-care, motherhood, healing, and more. You are enough, just the way you are. This podcast is a reminder of that. Follow and listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Happy Saturday. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to A-Wide Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 in Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. The summer of soccer in the States, Canada, and Mexico, with Team USA advancing to the knockout round. As I've talked about this summer, I think the excitement is building. As long as Team USA is in it, you're going to have people talking about the World Cup fever every single day. And Team USA has survived and advanced to the knockout round. So they have advanced through June. They will play July 1st against Bosnia. As we give you a little cup roundup here on AWOD Radio, the group stage will conclude today. We mentioned the games, Group L, K, and J. A big game that I have my eye on is Colombia-Portugal at 7:30. But if those results play out the way it is predicted based off of who is the favorites going into those matchups, we will have a very interesting knockout round beginning tomorrow with one game, South Africa against Canada. So we wanted to go through the AWOD Radio round of 32. And Canada-South Africa will start things off tomorrow at 3 p.m. The Canadians got super lucky. I mean, they got super. They didn't even win their group. Switzerland did. But they got a very good matchup there in the first round in South Africa. Fofana. They've never advanced, I believe, out of the group stage. I will pick Canada to win that matchup. Congratulations to Canada, because I don't think they've ever won a knockout round matchup. They will play the winner of Netherlands-Morocco. That might be the best game in the round of 32 to be played June 29th, and I am taking Morocco. I am taking the best team in Africa right now, Morocco, over the Dutch, over the Netherlands. I think Morocco, who made a deep run 4 years ago, is even stronger of a team, and it's all about matchups, but they have the advantage in my mind over the Netherlands. The top of that, you've got Germany-Paraguay. Germany will win that one. France-Sweden, I will take France to win that June 30th, and that will set up the highly anticipated round of 16 matchup on July 4th in Philadelphia. Germany-France. My plan is to go to Philadelphia and just experience the crowd, even if I can't get into the game. Ticket prices are over $3,000 now, but I just want to be in the city of brotherly love when the French play the Germans. Looking like that's going to be July 4th, the top of the bracket. Continuing to the bottom half of the bracket up top, that includes Team USA. You've got right now would be Portugal against Ghana. That could change by the results of tonight. I would take Portugal, Cristiano Ronaldo, and that young group of midfielders to defeat Ghana. And Spain, Austria, if results hold today. And I would pick Spain to win that one. And then we get another awesome round of 16 matchup between Portugal and Spain. USA, Bosnia, July 1st, 8 p.m. I believe Team USA will advance, and I'll tell you how they'll do that next segment. But the first thing is they've got to be the first team that scores in that game. The longer that goes nil-nil, the more Bosnia is going to grow into the game and get their confidence that they can go win it. Team USA's got to score first and take that game from Bosnia, make it 2-0, 3-0, put that game to bed early. Belgium. As of things stand right now, Belgium would face South Korea. There is a chance that that changes to Croatia. I think the Belgians would still advance and give Team USA that that round of 16 matchup that is a rematch of 2014. And I like our chances in a rematch of 2014. I think we have improved more than the Belgians have in the last 12 years. They still have world-class talent like Jeremy Doku and Kevin De Bruyne. I just think we have a better squad. Full starting 11, they've got a better goalkeeper than us, no doubt about that. But we've looked better in our last three matches than Belgium, who's only advancing because they blew out a New Zealand team that had kind of given up late last night. That's the top half of the bracket for the round of 32. The bottom half, Brazil will take on Japan. That is confirmed Monday, June 29th, Houston Stadium. Very interesting matchup for a Brazil team that is not the strongest Brazilian team at all. I think they're kind of lucky that they ended up on top of their group by goal differential over Morocco, because they really could have had the Netherlands in the first round of their matchup. Japan has looked really good. So if Japan somehow upsets Brazil, I would not be shocked. I would not be shocked. I'll take Brazil to win that one 3-2. I'm expecting there to be goals. That should be a really fun round of 32 matchup. Maybe your best or second best matchup you have out there. The winner of that one plays the winner of Ivory Coast against Norway. Norway has been so much fun to watch. If you're just getting into soccer watching the Norwegians, of course, you've recognized Erling Haaland, the superstar, and he has just done such an incredible job of scoring in this tournament. He scored at an insane rate for Norway over their last seven or eight matches. I think they've got the offensive firepower to get past Ivory Coast, and I would even pick Norway to get past this version of Brazil. Mexico will play in Mexico against Ecuador. That's a great matchup for Mexico to advance to the round of 16. Ecuador has not looked very good in this tournament coming into it. I would have picked Ecuador. As of today, I'm picking Mexico. As it stands, England, Senegal. Senegal has been so much fun to watch with their speed, their pace on the offensive end, but this English team is too class. This English defense and the midfield will be able to dominate. England advances over Senegal to take on Mexico. Argentina, Lionel Messi, and their attempt to go back-to-back. My goodness, have they gotten extremely fortunate. Probably the easiest path to the finals. Argentina, Cape Verde, give me Argentina. Argentina against Australia or Egypt, give me Argentina. Argentina against either Switzerland or Iran or Colombia, give me Argentina. It's so wild how Argentina has such an easy path to the semifinals, in which they would probably run into either an England, Norway, or a Brazil. And as Sebastian talked about, it feels like it is inevitable we're going to get France-Argentina again. It was such an amazing World Cup final 4 years ago. The French probably feel like they should have won it with the Marcus Thuram opportunity late in that one. Mbappe's better and stronger than he was 4 years ago. Argentina, Lionel Messi's 4 years older. I'd probably pick France to win it all as of today, because that top of that lineup there, Michael Olise has already showed his talent at Kylian Mbappe, and Ousmane Dembele, who's the Ballon d'Or, and people don't even know him. Ballon d'Or is supposed to represent the best soccer player on the planet, and a lot of Americans are just getting to know Ousmane Dembele with his first half hat trick last game. So I think Team USA can go on a decent run. I would pick us to get past Belgium, but if it's Spain in the next round, that might be all she wrote. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980. In Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM. You can always tweet me your thoughts at AWOD Radio or at 106.7 The Fan. If it's a good tweet, we'll read it on air. Don't go anywhere. AWOD Radio continues next.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. The summer of soccer here in the States, Canada, and Mexico, and Team USA with victories in Game 1 over Paraguay, Game 2 over Australia, completed the group stage with the most points they've ever achieved, 6 points and a spot in the knockout round. The stage is set. July 1st, USA against Bosnia. Team USA has historically struggled over and over and over again against European nations. Bosnia comes into this game here and they're going to feel like they love their chances against Team USA. In their three matches at this World Cup, they earned a draw against Canada. I think we're a better team than Canada. They lost to Switzerland 4-1, and then they blew out Qatar 3-1. But coming into this, they had to defeat Italy in penalty kicks to get to the World Cup. They had to defeat Wales in penalty kicks to get to the World Cup. They tied Austria. They beat Romania. So this is a team that has a lot of momentum coming in. They're going to like their chances against Team USA, especially if they can net an early goal and then defend for the rest of the game. I talked about it before. I'm going to say it again. The first 10 minutes of this game on Wednesday are going to be massive for Team USA. We struck first in the first three games, but Turkey struck back, dealt with our first adversity in that one in the second half, down 2-1. I liked our aggression to tie that game and even it at 2. Coach Mauricio Pochettino comes in here and gets Team USA ready for the knockout rounds, and I'm sure he's telling them, nobody believed in his Tottenham team that they would keep winning and winning en route to a Champions League final. He's coached the best of the best. Lionel Messi, Harry Kane, Kylian Mbappe, Neymar. He's played alongside the best of the best, being on a Argentinian squad with Diego Maradona. The best Team USA manager we've ever had. And I believe in his tactical adjustments here, especially given the fact that we have two extra halftimes with the water breaks to lead Team USA to the most wins we've ever had in a World Cup. We've already got two wins and a chance to win a knockout round game in the round of 32 against Bosnia. He's got to get the lineup right. I believe he will. I think he's going back to the same starting 11 that started the Paraguay game, a 4-0 victory for Team USA, a 3-0 lead in the first half that was by far the best 45 minutes we've ever played on the big stage in the World Cup. Why is it different now? Well, we finally have a striker, Fowler and Balogun, and we need him to be the poacher and take his opportunities. There will be chances against Bosnia early on. There will be chances against Bosnia late. I believe Pulisic will be a pest. He'll get into the box. He'll swing things in. Balogun's got to be our striker that makes the most of his opportunities. That's what held us back in 2022. That's what held us back in 2014 and in 2010. Not taking advantage of our opportunities. Not having a striker that could just be a poacher, be a pest in the box, get his opportunity, and take advantage of it. Tyler Adams back in the starting lineup. That was the biggest thing we were missing against Turkey. I'm glad he got to rest because we're going to need every second of Tyler Adams out there on the pitch. He would have stopped a ton of counterattacks. He's our best defensive midfielder. He's great at slide tackling, at stopping breakaways. Weston McKennie has been strong in possession. His ability to be a box-to-box player has to continue. Defend in one box, get shots off in the other box. The back line, going back to the guys that started against Paraguay, no bad turnovers, no penalties, smart in possession, and Chris Richards has got to help Tim Ream out because his speed, him being slow, could be an issue against Bosnia. Not that they've got the craziest speed, but Tim Ream is an elephant out there. We cannot trust him in breakaway situations. I love our chances against Bosnia, but we've got to come in with the same aggressive style that we had against Paraguay, Australia, and the way we started that second half against Turkey. First to all the 50-50 balls. First to all the hustle plays. Got to be first to score. That's the most important thing for Team USA against Bosnia. We have to take this game from them. The longer it is 0-0, if we get to 0-0 at the water break, Bosnia is going to love their chances to put one into the net. If we get to 0-0 at half, they're going to feel like they're going to steal a late winner from us. We got to make it 1-0. Then we got to make it a 2-goal advantage. Then you got to make it the third goal and put them to bed, start of the second half. That's how you win this game against Bosnia. Score first and take everything from them in terms of confidence. They cannot have 5 shots on goal in the first half. That cannot happen against Bosnia. So I love our chances. This is the most excited I've been about a Team USA game going into the knockout round, feeling like, hey, we're going to be picked to win. Vegas is going to pick Team USA to win. Now we just have to back it up. We looked amazing in our first two games. Now we got to back it up when it matters. When it's win and you're in, lose and you go home. Survive in advance, one game at a time. One game at a time. Cannot be thinking about Belgium. cannot be looking ahead to Spain later on in this bracket. One game at a time, Wednesday. The crowd should be a big factor as well. It feels like in this World Cup, it hasn't been the biggest factor. Canada lost in home in their home stadium when they needed a win. I don't think it's been a huge difference around the country here. There's been good fan bases. But the fact that it's in Seattle for Team USA is massive, massive. That is where we want to play against Belgium. The game against Bosnia will be in San Francisco. There's a great fan base there. That game's going to be insane. We're going to have so many big crowd, big supporters there. But the Belgium game in Seattle is going to be so important for us to do what this team has not been able to do, and that is win two knockout games. They have increased the number of teams in the competition to 48. When that came out, everybody said, all right, that sets the bar higher for Team USA. A knockout round victory is not enough. We have got to get two. And now, knowing that the next matchup in the knockout round after Bosnia would be Belgium, I love that as a benchmark for success. 12 years ago, I was heartbroken, as Tim Howard stood on his head, and then Belgium and Romelu Lukaku scored late, and they scored in extra time. And they won, and they knocked us out at what was one of the best teams we've ever had, and one of the most successful runs we've had in a World Cup. And Tim Howard's probably one of the greatest goalkeepers we've ever had. It's a different lineup. I don't like our goalie. I don't trust our goalie. But I feel like our offense is much more potent. We should be able to put more goals in the net than we did 12 years ago. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 in Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM. It's the power hour of AWOD Radio, the final hour of the show today. We've got Chase Hughes from Monumental Sports coming up next. Wizards fans have been waiting for a long time for their team to make a playoff push. I believe that will happen this upcoming season with the number one overall pick, A.J. Tabansa, representing the nation's capital. It's AWOD on the Fan. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. We continue next.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. What up, what up, what up? It's AWOD here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. So much going on in the sports world, and we've got three of our four DC teams in the middle of the offseason, but it feels like the offseason has been more exciting than the regular season, and I cannot wait to see Wizards basketball in the Summer League in Vegas and next regular season. Most excited I've been since 2005, year after Gilbert hits the game winner against Chicago, going into next year with a big three of Gilbert, Arantes, Caron, Butler, Anton Jamison representing number four. Now you got Trae Young, Anthony Davis, and the new number four, A.J. Tabansa. Joining us right now on the Rude Guest Hotline, Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV for Monumental Sports, it's Chase Hughes. What's up, Chase?
Not much, man. Good to be on with you, and glad to hear your excitement for the Summer League and beyond.
Yeah, you've got a lot going on. It feels like the last few days have been insane. On social media, yeah, it felt like that was a victory parade. What was your perspective of the excitements of the last few days and introducing A.J. Tabansa to this fan base?
Yeah, I mean, all of it, I would say, exceeded my expectations. You know, starting with draft night, just not knowing what the pick was going to be until Adam Silver walked to the podium was crazy. You know, usually we know that well in advance. I thought we'd for sure know by the morning of the draft. You know, that's sort of the latest I can remember finding that news, you know, at least since like 2013. That was the last time it was really a big surprise. And then, you know, them introducing him and the turnout there, the turnout at the Anthem, the night of the draft. I mean, Wizards fans are clearly like extremely excited about this, and for good reason. And then, you know, yesterday seeing A.J. Tabansa at John Wall's court dedication, the turnout there, you know, the way they were interacting with kids, how they had sort of a ceremonial basket where John Wall, you know, passed the ball to Devonta, and he threw down a dunk. It just was like a symbolic passing of the torch. So it was really an incredible week for the Wizards.
Absolutely. It's just an exciting time here. Summer League, about 2 weeks away, and AJ, we'll get to see him. And I've been saying I'm excited to see Trey Johnson be the star of Summer League. But the big topic around the Wizards that we've taken calls on has been, what should be the benchmark for success? And I said 500. If they can't get 41 wins, is that a failure? How would you say benchmark is success for this season? Because of the fact that you have AD, Trae Young, and AJ, they're under contract. Like, that's the big three this year.
Yeah, I mean, they've got obviously way more talent. You know, 500, I might put it just a little bit lower than that. You know, maybe between like 35 and 40 wins, somewhere in that range. I think it's going to be a huge leap regardless. And to get to that point would require a very massive step forward. But, you know, that's not far off. I think you're more realistic than some of these people who have been saying, oh, 4 seed, 5 seed, which is great optimism. I just don't think that's where the bar should be set in terms of, like, determining whether it's a successful season, because, you know, you'd have to get to, like, 46, 47 wins to be in that territory, which is, you know, like 30-plus wins from last year when they won 17. And, you know, that probably would match, off the top of my head, I guess, like their second-best season since the 70s. So I think they got to take a step forward first before they take two steps. And so, I think 500 is within the range of a realistic expectation for next year, because usually when a team gets a number one pick, you know, recently since 2020, they've averaged an 8-win improvement the next year. But the Wizards did, of course, add a lot more than just a number one pick with Trae Young, Anthony Davis, and they've got a bunch of young players who could take steps forward. So I don't think you're far off.
Yeah, and I understand what you're saying. Set it a little bit below 500. My whole thing is, I want to hover around 500 or be above 500 for most of the season to keep the fan base engaged. And the other thing is, I believe in this coaching staff. If this team's below 500, they're going to say the excuse is not the talent, it's the coach.
Well, it, you know, it of course depends on the circumstances. You know, injuries could, you know, change the perception, of course. It's also going to be more difficult to win, I think, moving forward. In the Eastern Conference, it's still not close to the West, you know, at the top, you know, the top five seeds. But last year, there was a pretty significant improvement in terms of what it took to make the play-in and make the bottom of the Eastern Conference playoffs. Like the Hornets, who, of course, have been in the news with LaMelo Ball, they last year won, I believe, 43 games, were the best team in basketball by some measures after January 1st. And, you know, they were the ninth seed and made the play-in and fell short of the playoffs. So, like, that's kind of where the bar is. But, yeah, I mean, obviously the coaching staff is going to be evaluated very differently than they were over the last few years, and I think that goes to the players as well. You know, now the types of mistakes they were able to play through, you know, aren't going to be tolerated to the same degree. It's going to be a different dynamic for everyone involved, and I think they're all ready for that, to be honest. I think all these competitors on the team and on the coaching staff are going to welcome that challenge.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, and I think Brian Keefe has earned this opportunity here with his player development. I'm very interested to see what his X's and O's look like with the game on the line and they're actually trying to win. But, like, to follow up on what you were saying, because I'm sure you're asked this a lot, why is Brian Keefe the right head coach for their aspirations this season?
Well, I think they liked what he did last year. You know, the leaps forward that Alex Saar and Keyshawn George made in particular, I think reflected really well on him. You know, his main goal was player development. That's his background. And so that's what they were looking for from him. And so those guys, obviously, you know, top the list, but, you know, Bob Carrington's shooting improvement, some of the other gains their young players made, the way Jahmyr Watkins was able to make an instant impact, I think all of that reflected well on him. And so I think he has earned this opportunity, like you said, and now we'll find out what he can do in terms of X's and O's and rotations to a greater degree than we saw the last few years when that wasn't really, you know, the biggest goal. So, you know, going back to kind of expand what I said on these guys will welcome that challenge, I think they would all collectively much prefer the environment they're going to be in next year where, you know, they can actually compete for games to a greater degree. Like, that's what these guys want to do. So I think, you know, win, lose, or draw, they're going to welcome those expectations and, you know, the fallback if they don't meet them.
Yeah, and I just think Brian Keith, people hate this term in sports, but I think he's created a culture where these guys have great work ethic and they want to be with each other and see each other improve. Let's get to Summer League. July 9th, Wizards Summer League debut. I'm not expecting much from AJ. I'm saying go get yourself a 30-piece and go home. I don't want him to play too much. Trey Johnson could be a star. Who do you think are going to be the big scorers for the Wizards in Summer League?
Trey Johnson and Will Riley stand out right away. I mean, those guys are going to be playing in their second Summer League, I believe. I mean, we haven't seen the roster, but that's the expectation. The Wizards are very adamant that they have their players, no matter how good they were as rookies, play as sophomores. I personally love that. They're taking it from Oklahoma City Thunder's philosophy. That's where their top guys in the front office come from. It's very different than how the Wizards used to operate in the Summer League when, you know, Corey Kispert had a solid rookie year, but then they held him out of Summer League in his second summer. And, you know, I was kind of curious about that. Now these guys are going to play no matter how good they are. You know, you mentioned DeBonsa. I think that's a fair thing to say because, you know, I've been to enough Summer Leagues to see, you know, Cooper Flagg and Victor Wembanyama, and they sort of had underwhelming Summer League debuts. I think there's a lot that comes with that moment for them. You know, there's a big crowd and usually a little bit of a different role than they're used to. You don't always know exactly what the expectations are from the coaching staff for a guy like that, what they want them to focus on. So going by the past, you usually don't see a number one pick, even if they become superstars at the NBA level, just light the world on fire in Summer League. So maybe DeBonsa will be different. The night one matchup is going to be incredible. It's him against Darren Peterson and the Utah Jazz, primetime opening night. It's a tradition in the Summer League to do that, one versus two. And we've seen those guys have some battles. You know, there was a very famous one in high school where they went against each other, and Peterson had like 62 and DeBonsa had like 53. So they tend to show out when they go up against each other. And this will just be the latest installment of that longstanding rivalry.
AJ, Trey Johnson, Will Riley. Give us another name or two that you think needs this Summer League.
Needs the Summer League? I would say, you know, Jahmyr Watkins, he's another rising sophomore. I expect him to be on the roster, and if he is, I think it'll be a great opportunity for him to show improvement, especially on the offensive end. I think he's got a lot of skill defensively, and so I could see him factoring into the rotation next year, but he definitely, with all the talent that they have, is someone who's probably on the fringe of rotation minutes. So this is an opportunity for him to show improvement after several months of the offseason, and I think set the stage for a strong sophomore year where, you know, maybe he can be a defensive specialist who can stretch the floor with a three-point shot and, you know, stay on the floor with, you know, Trae Young and Anthony Davis when they mix their starters and their bench. So I think he's someone who could definitely prove himself in a way that could set the stage for a strong sophomore year that keeps him in the rotation.
Chase, I want to rapid-fire run through some players. You tell me the role that you think they'll have next season. Christian Vucevic.
Backup big man, probably at this point, obviously the third big man, but with Anthony Davis and his injury history, a guy who's probably got to stay ready so he doesn't have to get ready.
Justin Champagne.
I think you find a way in the rotation for him. Like Josh Hart, rebounding specialist, blue-collar defender, scrappiest guy on the team.
Bob Carrington,
I think, safely in the second unit.
Can he be backup point guard, or is he more off-ball?
Right now, I think he's probably the backup point guard, but they played him more off the ball last year, and he shot a really high percentage from three, so I could see him being off the ball. Maybe Will Riley's your backup point guard.
Who leads the Wizards in scoring next season?
Trae Young. Trae Young, I think, will lead the Wizards in scoring because I know he's going to get 20-plus every night. And Anthony Davis, he can score more, but, you know, we'll see in terms of how many games he plays. If it's total points, I'm definitely going with Trae Young because he's probably going to play 75 games.
Give me more of your thoughts on Trae Young. There was a lot of backlash for that contract. I've been defending it because of the fact he's 27 years old. I will take him over Austin Reeves every day and twice on Sunday. So I believe he's got a chip on his shoulder. But tell us more about why you think 20 a game easily for Trae Young.
Well, he's been doing it for a long time. You know, last year was just like a slight step to the side. The rest of his career, he's been pretty much an automatic 20-10. And so I think the Wizards see him as a pretty important piece to their roster in the short term, because they don't really have anyone else who can do what he does, which is get into the paint 10-plus times a game and break down the defense off the dribble and set other people up with high-percentage shots. So, like, you know, long-term, they're going to hope that maybe A.J. DeBonta develops into that role, or Keyshawn George or Will Riley. But for now, I think it's going to make it a lot easier for their young guys to have someone who's just an absolute professional at doing that. You know, obviously, he's not a perfect player, you know, not the most efficient shooter, a few too many turnovers. You know, the defense is something they're going to have to work around. But in terms of getting into the paint, setting others up, pushing the pace with kick-ahead passes in transition, you guys are better than he is at that. And so I think it helps a lot of things click into place on the offensive end.
Do you think there should be a game limit or a plan for Anthony Davis to not play back-to-backs to ensure that, hey, you get the best version of Anthony Davis?
I'm sure there'll be something like that, but, you know, the injury he's coming off of is a hand injury, so I don't think they need to worry too much about that, at least in the short term. I don't think it's like, you know, Joel Embiid, where it's leg injuries that you're going to have to manage, or, you know, Paul George obviously has a long history of leg injuries. He gets that kind of treatment. So since it's a hand injury, he hasn't played in a while. I mean, I could be wrong. Maybe they'll have a minutes restriction to start the season, but I doubt it given the nature of the injury.
And lastly, who do you think leads this team off the bench? Who's our best scorer off the bench?
I'll go with Trey Johnson if he's not in the starting lineup. The starting five, I'm kind of picturing, involves A.J. DeBonta and Keyshawn George at the two and the three. If that is the case, and my reasoning is, you know, more defensive balance with Keyshawn George and Trey Johnson, just imagine bringing that guy off the bench with the way he can shoot and light it up in a short period of time.
Yeah, Bilal's the guy I think is going to just surprise a lot of people this year. Have you seen him recently? Has he been, you know, grinding this offseason like everybody expects?
I haven't seen him personally, but yeah, I mean, he's been grinding. His, you know, offseason started a little bit later than it usually does, and I think that was a welcome change, because the last few years, you know, his season ended early. It was like in February and March that he had season-ending injuries. So he's got a normal offseason, possibly the French national team, and I would expect him to come back. Obviously, it's a big offseason, and the reason why is because he's contract extension eligible. So I think it'll be very interesting to see what Bilal looks like when he comes back in training camp.
Absolutely. I'm excited for him to make some big leaps in his game. Chase, really appreciate you taking the time to join us. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. Welcome back. What up, what up, what up? It's AWOD here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. Simulcast on the Team 980 in Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM. That's where you can check me out Monday through Friday from 12 to 3 p.m. and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. If you missed it, rewind back to 9 a.m. today. We started with a Wizards Hour. All things Washington Wizards basketball. This is the most excited I've been in 21 years, and I truly believe in this front office. This is the front office I trust more than any other DC sports front office. And so we started the show with that debate. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. Go back and look at the Wizards roster from 2023 when they got this job, because it will blow your mind. We were starting guys like Isaiah Todd, Johnny Davis, Corey Kispert, and we turned it into a team that legit can go 41-41 as like an average team. I think they can get way better than that. So we need to be healthy. There's no doubt about that. But when I saw A.J. DeBonta talk to the media, the way he handled himself, his maturity, going out there with John Wall the next day, embracing the community, I got a great sense of professionalism that reminded me of the basketball version of Jaden Daniels, what we have for the Washington Commanders. And I did want to close the show by saying, yes, I will still take Brandon Ayuk. Yes, I'll still take Brandon Ayuk. I don't understand why people are calling him crazy, and there's national reporters that sound stupid calling him Antonio Brown. No, what, are you dumb? He's not even close to Antonio Brown. He's doing everything for a reason. For a reason. Antonio Brown, there was no reasoning. There was nothing. He had lost his mind. Brandon Ayuk, he's coming out here and just trolling the 49ers. He's doing what TikTokers do to get famous. Who cares he's on social media? Is he going to be able to perform under the lights? I believe so. Do we need him at wide receiver? That's another question. Because I don't want that answer to be yes. Because it shouldn't be. Because you drafted Antonio Williams, you've drafted Luke McCaffrey, and Jalen Lane. That's three receivers, and you have Terry under contract, Diami under contract. Like, that should be your five, and maybe Treylon Burks is part of that. You shouldn't need Brandon Ayuk if Adam Peters hit on all of his picks. But I would still absolutely take him to the roster. Yes, it would be an upgrade. No, I don't think he's crazy. Yes, I think he would be a good part to have him with Jaden Daniels. Yes. He's going out there and he's trolling the 49ers, and I don't care. I'm enjoying it. Every day, it's Brandon Ayuk o'clock. Well, what do you do? What do you post now? Is he dropping more thousands of dollars in his closet? I wish I lived in that closet. He can make himself a clown on social media. It's fine with me. Sign him on the dotted line as soon as he becomes available. Yes. Veteran minimum. Yes. Whatever he wants. I'm not going to pay him the $20 million, but I want him in Washington. Yes. I don't think he's crazy. Yes, I want him added to this roster. I wanted to make sure I said that. So everybody that's listening that says that DC Sports Media is crazy for not wanting Brandon Ayuk, I will take Brandon Ayuk. I'll take him today. I'll take him tomorrow. I'll take him at training camp. I'll take him in preseason. Whenever the 49ers decide to finally dump him, right, because that's all this is, it's an angry ex-girlfriend. My comparison for Brandon Ayuk is he dumped the 49ers, but they still own a sweatshirt of his that he loves. And if he wants that back, he's got to go to the 49ers to get the sweatshirt. He doesn't want to go visit the ex-girlfriend. He steps foot in San Francisco. They're going to cut him. But he's not going back there. He's choosing to move on with his life. I think eventually San Francisco will cut him, and he will play in Washington. And we'll look back at this crazy offseason and laugh at it. But comparing him to Antonio Brown just really pissed me off, and there's so many damn journalists that are mainstream that are trying for clicks, and they say dumb things over and over again. The same guy that said Justin Herbert is a social media quarterback. The same guy that I've seen at quarterback make it to the playoffs every single... Like, what are you talking about, Acho? It's so frustrating. I would take Brandon Ayuk. Yes, still want him on the roster. The bigger question is, do we need him? And if Adam Peters hits on his draft picks, then the answer would be no. It would be great to add him because I think it would help this team achieve all of their goals. Are they a playoff team with this roster today? Yes. Add Brandon Ayuk. Maybe you're closer to a Super Bowl contender, right? That's what I would say there. I don't think he's going to ruin our locker room. I don't think he's going to be a distraction. He's a distraction for San Francisco right now. George Kittle can't do an interview without being asked 100 questions about Brandon Ayuk. Eventually, San Francisco, I think, will decide to cut ties with this guy, but it has not changed my mind on where I want him to play this upcoming season. Go Commanders! Raise hail! That's the words of Brandon Ayuk. Season tour coming to Washington, D.C., coming to Landover, Maryland. He's even telling people where you can get your tickets. Guys, turned into the ultimate voice for the Commanders. I love it. Sign me up for Brandon Ayuk. No, I don't think he's crazy. I just think he's trolling on social media. He's a product of this new generation here that lives on social media, and that's what he's doing. That's what he's doing. Do I like it? Not really, but I think it's also kind of fun. I'm enjoying there being an update every single day. As other than that, you know, there's Nats baseball, there's Wizards offseason, we get to talk soccer, but there's a Brandon Ayuk update almost every single day, and I have enjoyed it. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980. Thanks to Wes for running the ones and twos. My guy, Mr. Hollywood, Nick Ashew, coming up next. If you enjoyed the show, check me out Monday through Friday on the Odyssey app, AWOD Radio, 910 The Fan from 12 to 3, or check out the podcast, AWOD Radio, available for you every day on your ride home. Wes puts this show together as a podcast. It's Overtime on 106.7 The Fan. That's Spotify and iTunes. Overtime on 106.7 The Fan. I'll see you guys I'm actually going on vacation. I'll be off next Saturday. We'll continue Saturdays with AWOD right after that. Nick Ashew, Mr. Hollywood, is coming up next.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.